chest, speaking with your mouth. Bovrin Kings is what we're talking about. From Mars to the V-Block, everybody shout. L-A-L-A, big city of dreams. But everything in L.A. ain't always what it seems. You might get fooled by those other guys in town, but we're down by law. We know our way around too much.
LA is your house. Welcome. This is episode 326. I'm here with Lewis.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
And I believe that we're going to get David. He's going to jump on in a little bit later. But we are back another week. And my goodness, a win. 3 points at home against Seattle. 1-0. And dude, we made it the most comfortable for them to beat our asses. We brought out the rain. We brought up the entire, we brought Seattle for them. And still, we were able to win. We continue, and now we are number one in the league in week seven. Lewis?
Wow. I mean, just wow, right? I don't think any of us realistically believed that through six games, especially looking at the schedule, through six games, we would be not only undefeated, but atop of the Supporters Shield standings. This is absolutely incredible. It's almost unreal. Yep. It's been a very long time since we've been able to say top of the Supporters Shield standings. Obviously, it's very, very early in the season. We haven't won anything.
Thank you, MLS.
But
I mean, because there's a lot of asterisks in this.
Of course.
But it's fantastic. But it's fantastic. I'm not gonna hate on it. We love it. Trust me.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the game wasn't ideal. It was expected. I will say this. It was expected. We'll get into that. We'll get into more details later. I expected the game to be that sloppy, to be that type of a game. But, you know, we got our first home victory. We've got momentum going into what is going to be the most important, up to date, the most important fixture so far this season. And we're first place. Now, obviously, I'm happy. I don't think there's an asterisk there, but I do say, well, don't celebrate too hard because you don't win anything in March, right? Now you gotta keep that going until October.
Sure, but my asterisk is performance.
Okay, so
we're just not there yet.
Okay,
we are absolutely not there. So we're very lucky. I think we are very lucky. Although we are working our asses off to get to this point, but because of how MLS works and right. How everybody's dealing, all the teams are dealing with their own issues. We're very lucky to be in the first place. I mean, look at in the last two games. If you listened to the last episode, you heard me go crazy on Lewis because I was just very upset in the sense of just how not just Lewis. I'm gonna put Lewis aside, but in just the sense of like how bad of a performance that was the majority of the game, and then this game was also kind of the same. I mean, we made our first goal in the third minute and then basically just couldn't do anything throughout the rest of the 90. But let me, before we get into the deep dish, I know Lewis wasn't at the game. Unfortunately, I think he had to stay home with his son.
Yeah,
because his son had his little cousin over, and that was just better for him.
Yes,
to just chill with his cousin than go to the game. I get it. But man, dude, the DJ this time around, woo wee! I loved him. Dude had a full on drum set playing it live, super hard. Like, dude, this is the first DJ I felt like energy from. Like, it wasn't just like, oh, okay, listen to the I'm gonna sound all old, the top of the pops. even though what they're playing isn't the top of the pops, Casey Kasem. I was going to say Casey Kelso. I don't know why that was stuck in my head. Casey Kasem, yes. But yeah, so he was, dude, fantastic. He brought a lot of energy, more energy than I've seen in the first two games at home. Yeah, he was dope. And I think, I know we sent you guys some footage.
Unfortunately, I couldn't go to the game. David basically echoes your sentiment there in that it was a lot of energy, that it was the best DJ up to
his name up was to that Robbie point. Drums. Robbie? I know I didn't mention it. Robbie Drums. Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously I did not get the entire performance. I have to go by, you know, the clips that were shown either by you guys. I know the Galaxy posted a quick, like, 20-second clip as well. I mean, honestly, and maybe this is just me, I kind of feel that, like, there should be a, like, well, maybe they do it. Maybe they do stream the DJ performance, and we just don't know it because, you know, we're at the game. But I kind of feel that, like, they should be posting the entire performance of the DJs that will be featured at every home game.
There should be on their YouTube. They should have the whole set.
Yeah.
They should have the set. Yeah.
Yeah. Whether that's pregame or halftime.
And it'll look cooler. And it should look cooler because there's cameras and you're the DJ and everything. Because most of us can't see the DJ unless we look at the monitors.
Right.
So there is a distance. So, like, if they did release that on YouTube or whatever, that would be really cool. It would make us look super, super dope.
Yeah.
The other thing too is that, man, the stadium is starting to give a lot of Japanese options, and I'm there for it. Yakitori is there, some really good yakitori, and then I was really happy that they had Japanese water, Pakori Sweat. It's so good.
And then, it totally makes sense though. I mean, like, these are little things that weren't really done in the previous administration. We know that there was
they tried. I'm not going to go that far. I disagree with you. There were attempts. It's just working now. That's all it is. Okay, you can disagree with me, Louis. Of course, you can disagree with me. But I feel like just because you didn't like how the administration was running, you just hated everything. So you didn't give anything a chance.
I will.
There were things that they tried that were good, that were fantastic, but fans like you just wouldn't give it a chance.
Because they were already dismissive. I will say toward the end of that administration, I will give you the benefit of that argument that you're right. Sure. I want them out so badly that it doesn't really matter what you do. Because
they tried a lot last year. They did a lot of things last year that was very overlooked.
Because I know
because of the situation, and I get it.
There was always that, at least for me, there was always, and like, let's just be honest here. I think everybody understood it after the fact. You know, they were really pandering to a certain demographic, right? It's been a
very long time,
and they had to be called out on it, right? Like, they were right.
The Cholo culture. Come on.
It wasn't even that. It was. I mean, that's part of it, but there was a lot of it.
But yeah, there was more. Yeah.
Whenever say Julian Araujo played on the Mexican national team, or Alvarez played on the Mexican national team, they were always highlighted. Hey, you know, they're playing here, blah blah, showing the scores of the game and keeping it, you know, and everyone was like, you have other players on the team that are playing for their national teams, you know. At the time, you had.
It didn't feel as dynamic as now, though.
No,
it didn't really.
And now you very much are getting more diversity in their players. You know, they're embracing
food,
right? I mean that explains the Japanese thing. You know, I mean, they really embraced everything about all their players. It wasn't that they were just focusing on one simply to pander to demographic.
Do you think they're jumping on the Japanese thing just because it's also Dodgers? And just
I think it's like part of it.
Sports thing. Yeah,
I do believe it.
Just,
I do believe it's part of it.
It's not just Yamane. It's not just, you know, Yoshida. It's a cultural thing. I have recognized there's a lot more Japanese fan base or fan attendance in our stadium now. I've recognized that. Like, it's a lot
well,
more.
Well, you know, you have a guy who played on the national team and then with one – and then the other one, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if Mickey was on the national team, but he was playing
but he plays in the J-League completely.
Right, and he was in the top league. I'm sorry, top team of the J League, and he won Defender of the Year. So obviously, there's some sort of
supposedly won everything in the J League. Yeah, supposedly. Yeah.
So I mean, I'm perfectly, you know, I am perfectly okay with that. I have no issue with that.
And I'm just bringing it up.
And it should be like that. And yes, I agree. Maybe the Dodger thing. You know, they also started selling Japanese food. There's Japanese options there now at Dodger Stadium, which is like super cool. The team should be embracing like the different cultures and the different players.
And I think that's what you were kind of getting at. And that's what I'm trying to say is that finally, I think this year we're starting to open our arms to the diversity of fans and the diversity of our players, that we're not just so focused on Mexican players, right? Like, we're not just focused on Mexican fans,
yeah,
which is dope. Like, it's fine, you're a part of us, we're good. But dude, like, there's Asian fans, there's Japanese fans, there's Ghanaian fans, there's, you know, Black Galaxy, what do they call themselves,
Comets FC.
Yeah Comets FC. So like come on, like there's a lot of us. So like the Galaxy needs to focus on the melting pot of the aspect. And that's one of the things I was kind of annoyed with, which we were speaking on of a couple years ago, where it just seemed like they just had this derivative agenda of trying to market to one specific,
which was spot, like, you know, area, which was like, my you know, you know,
it bugged,
my
it bugged
my
me.
Biggest, you know, that was my biggest criticism. And it went everywhere, whether it was social media, whether it was at the stadium, whether the players that they were trying to bring in, it was just all around like, dude, stop this. It hasn't worked for you. It feels open now.
It feels a lot more open now. It really does. Even in the stadium, it feels a lot more open now.
And This is the right thing. This is the shift in culture that, you know, we were asking for. This is the way things should be done. And let's go ahead and keep with that topic, because we had some news happen earlier today. I'm glad we recorded today and not yesterday. The Galaxy signed a new player. We have officially it's officially official. The Galaxy have signed 22-year-old Colombian center back.
Sounds good.
It sounds good. You know, the thing is that I very much have to trust Will Koontz. The process. There you go. We actually have to trust the process now, because we see what the process is all of a sudden. We're good there. No. So I'm going to go ahead and trust Koontz that, again, him and by the way, all the credit is going to Koontz, and rightfully so. But let's just be honest. Michael Stevens, head of scouting, let's just go ahead and give him a shout. Because I don't think he's getting that much.
No, it can't be just completely Koontz. Come on. No.
There's a team there. Yes, a lot of love to Michael Stevens there for identifying these players and you know, going to what the team identity is going to be.
Really need right now.
Right.
I mean, even though Jaden Neal I think I read that he's going to be ready in a week or so.
Like two to three.
Himself, he said it himself. I don't know what Vanny is thinking, but So like, we're gonna get a healthy Neil soon.
Yeah.
So, but Cassettis still, we need depth. Fucking rest, bro. But also, Yoshida needs rest. Like, these guys. Come on, like 90 minutes all season. No.
Yeah.
We need.
There's gonna be have to be some rotation. So that was a position of need. I do believe that Koontz was saying that they were looking at some center backs, and it was a position that they were looking at. There was no rumors to be had up until like a few days ago. And lo and behold, a couple of days later, he is officially signed. So A, they're working very, very fast, and B, they've kept that very, very close to the vest there. I believe next week sometime is when the roster closes until the summer transfer window. So they were still able to bring in players, and they needed it ASAP because of the injury to Cáceres. We don't know the extent of the injury. Vanny did say it was precautionary that he was subbed off. He walked out on his own power. He was not limping. It did look like it's precautionary.
Yeah, it was pretty early. It was early, but though. It was very early.
We have yet to find to receive any sort of word as to the status of Cáceres and what that injury was. So going back, so we did sign 22-year-old Colombian center back Carlos Emiro Garcés. He plays in Pereira. He is one, I think, currently top three, I think, in the Colombian division. I think, hold on, let me go ahead and double check that. But either way, this is a loan, by the way. This is not, he is on loan for the rest of the year.
Is it a loan to buy?
There is an option to buy at the end of the season. So obviously this is the tryout, and the fact that he is 22 years old will make him
175 pounds. That's a big guy in the back. I like that. So you know me, I'm always looking for big dudes in the back.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, I need a guy with, especially the center back position. I want a guy with a high IQ. You know, maybe you don't need to be fast.
Yeah, but he's not going to be Yoshida. He's not going to be Cáceres. He's 22.
He's 22, but, right? I mean, of course. Yeah. So he comes from Deportivo Pereira. He is in the fourth, and currently in fourth place in the Colombian league, 1 point behind third place and 3 points behind first place. So they're up there in the Colombian league. Here's a guy that seems to fit what the Galaxy are doing. Let me go ahead and
Doesn't it feel like that?
Yeah, very much, very much. So let me go ahead and read. This is coming from Alex Ruiz. I'm a big fan of his. I love the way he breaks stuff down. I love, you know, I love stats. I love numbers. He's always breaking down the numbers for the Galaxy. This guy is great. I really do. So big shout out to him. I'm going to go ahead and read from his article. If you haven't subscribed to his Galactic Tribune, go ahead and do that. I think it's worth it. All right. So let me go ahead and read a clip analyzing Garcés's play style. Garcés is in the middle of the season in Colombia, and his contributions have Pereira sitting in fourth place in the league table. He is an every game starter and one of the most consistent performers on the back line. His 24 tackles won this season is tied for fourth in Colombia's top flight. Garcés has 10 interceptions on the season, which is second most on the roster. His 5.47 duels won per 90 has him in the 85th percentile in all of Colombia. Garcés has an impressive 6.6 defensive recovery per 90 that puts him in the 97th percentile. When you watch his film, his speed and aggressiveness stand out the most. He's quick to jump passes and pressure the player with the ball at a faster pace compared to LA's centered veteran center backs. His comfort and composure on the ball stand out a ton and is important for how the Galaxy wants to play. Garcés doesn't boot the ball immediately under pressure, but will look to create his own space to play the ball forward on the ground. Now, there's more obviously to that, but I just wanted to point that part of it out. So once again, thank you, Alex, for that. So once again, the Galaxy going out there and not just picking a random guy that needs to fill a vacant spot. They are doing their homework. This is exactly within their system. This is exactly what they're trying to do. And again, I'm going to go ahead and trust that they did their homework all the way around. They're not just looking for talent. They're looking for, is this a good locker room guy, his personality, his attitude. And from what I understand, Pereira's fans were pretty upset that he's leaving, which is a good sign. So
yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah.
So once again, we're getting another guy that may not be a starter, but 22 years old. He's obviously there for depth. He's obviously there for rotation. As you said, Yoshida can go 90 for 34 games. Cáceres can go 90 for 34 games. Nope. We already have Neil out. Who knows if this is going to be a recurring injury. This is not the first time he's been dealing with it. He was out longer than expected, so you got to prepare for that.
I think this is it.
Yeah, I hope
that. I mean, I'm assuming that that's it, and then he's healthy for till nothing. I'm not gonna say nothing. I don't want to jinx us, but you know what I mean. Like, he should be good until he actually gets injured again.
Yeah. But, so as far as the signing is concerned, everyone kind of assumed that he would be in the under 22 roster spot that we have available. That's not the case. It looks like we do have to get some sort of TAM for him.
We can't depend on Zavaleta every freaking game to come in.
No, we can't. Come on. So and then of course if we do option to buy again, it fits the Galaxy mold. It's a young guy. If you pick up his option where you have him, you can develop him, you can sell him later on. He's still very young. There's obviously a lot of upside to that. Kind of like with Peck, you pay a lot of money for him. You're hoping to develop him. I highly doubt that Peck would be here for the 5 years that he has under his contract. I think that the Galaxy are looking to sell him after maybe 3 or 4 years to a European club and get value back. Sure. If we're going to go with, diversifying that culture, I am all for some Colombian empanadas. I am all for some pan de bono. I mean, bring it on, guys. I got
the empanada you want to eat, baby. So let's talk about the game. Started off with a lineup that many people would have been super happy about, but it was good. I mean, we got Gabriel Peck as the second starting game.
Making his first start ever, I believe, right? Oh, no. Did he start against?
No, it was the second.
That's right, his second.
Yeah, it was.
That's right.
Yeah,
it was his first home start.
Second game starting. My impatientness has dwindled.
Momentarily.
Because he's doing what I've been waiting for, and I've been waiting for him to be on the pitch the majority of the time and whatever. So it's a little bit better. I mean, he got the goal. We'll talk about that later, but. Much nicer. Barry starts the game. A lot of people were shocked that Jovalić wasn't on there, but I thought that was a great call. Give Jovalić the rest for a second. Brugman comes in instead of Cerrillo. And then everything else is pretty much the same. Aude, Ricky, Caceres, Yoshida, Yamane, and Painsil, and Delgado. So the only big changes was Gabriel Peck as his second start and Barry as a start.
Yeah. So Jovalić ended up picking up a knock at practice. It was very minor. Obviously, he was still training with the team and he was able to play in the second half. But that was the reason why. It had nothing to do with rest. He picked up a knock. I highly doubt. And it would be very sad. That
I was still okay. I was still okay if he needed rest. I mean, like.
No, I mean, I highly doubt that Vanny would have just been like, I know you're literally one game away from the record, so we're going to go ahead and sit you down. You're like, that's not going to happen. It was a knock officially. No.
I feel like they're expecting him to break the record anyways.
So no, he can't. He cannot break the record anymore. He had to do it in that last game.
Because of the games. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's true.
He cannot break the record.
The sequential games. You're right. Okay.
Yeah. So it had to be the first six games of the season that he played, so he did not, or he didn't. Oh, he still had a chance in the second half, but he didn't get the full 90.
Fucking Vanny.
Yeah. Well, no. Again, not Vanny.
Out. Just kidding.
So that was the reason for that. Okay, let's go ahead and talk about the game. If there was any game, I mean, there's been other games as well, but up to this point, if there was any game where you can say there's two sides to a coin, it was this game. Because there was, depending on which side you want to take, you can go either way here, and you have a pretty good argument. At the end of the day, you should be happy that they won, and that's where you should draw the line.
We're happy that we got the 3 points. We're number one. We're good.
Yeah. It was a tough game to watch. I mean, I was pretty bored watching that game.
And look, I can't give too much flack to the conditions, because I mean, look at dude. I watched the U.S. women's national team play in worse conditions and play better. So
I don't think they played. I don't think they played better. It was just the fact.
They did.
I mean, it was just the nature of. I mean, obviously that the game, the women's national team game, should not have taken place. 100%. They should have called that game off. It was absolutely horrible.
Water was way worse than what we had. It was way more dank. Like, yeah.
I mean, it was just absolutely just ridiculous that someone said, yes, let's go ahead and go forward with the game.
I don't know. I'm on the other side. Like, play through mud, play through snow. Like, just do it. I don't know. I mean, no, I'm also not the one on the field, but I don't know. That's the kind of sports I like. Like,
I mean,
just push through.
I do feel that there is a limit. Like, if the field is just unplayable, sure, where it's just like, dude, the ball ain't gonna roll. The ball's not gonna go anywhere. You know, you're risking injury. Again, the women's team, they should not have played this game. Okay, I don't think there was any doubt about whether the game was going to be called or not. We knew that the game was going to go on. And for that reason, I knew that the game would be sloppy. I knew that it would be, look, it's going to be a rainy, soggy field, and it's going to affect play. That's just the way it is. At this point, it's kind of like a street fight. Okay, who's going to want it more, right? It's going to be who makes the first mistake, who's going to...
And that's what I was saying in the beginning of the episode. Like, we literally brought Seattle right to Seattle.
Right, right. So, game starts out the way you were hoping. Galaxy come out strong. I think first or second minute, Painsill hits the post yet again.
Are the goals wider? I mean, wider in Ghana? What's happening?
I know, right?
He keeps hitting the damn post.
Yep.
And it's frustrating me because he needs these goals.
He is he currently has hit the post 3 times this season, which is a league high. Now
driving me crazy.
It is, because at that point you kind of figure like, dude, like, I'm not sure this is unlucky anymore. You kind of have to put the ball a couple inches, more on goal. Because technically,
I mean, look. There's a very little learning curve from the post to in goal, so I'm not worried. but I'm just like, dang, how, like, you've hit it so much.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, that's something that, again, part unlucky, but at the same time, you're still technically not shooting straight. I know you hit the post, and many people think, dude, you're so close. Right. But if it doesn't hit the post and they're wide, like by an inch, there's really no difference there. You're just narrowly missing as well. Hitting the post, technically, you are not putting a shot on goal.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Unless it's inside the post and it bounces in. That's different.
Well, yeah, that's different. Yes. Yes. But yeah, come on, bro. You got to start shooting straight. But we still love you. Just got to, you know.
Oh my God. You're like my second favorite, bro.
Yeah.
Or third favorite. I don't know.
So,
yeah.
And then, like, two minutes later, the goal drops. Peck gets his first goal as a Galaxy player. And it was orchestrated by the killer peas. Pooj.
Yep.
Painsill to Pooj. Back to Painsill, who drops it into Peck, who one times it. And the Galaxy are up 1-0 in the 4th minute. The Galaxy start off strong. Couple things here. I text the thread. I said, hey, is it just me or is Painsill playing on the exact same side as Peck right now? They're both on the right side.
Yeah, for a little
right?
while. Yeah,
and Pooj was on the right side, and Delgado was on the right side, and we're like, oh man. But you know, obviously we scored, and then I had said that after, and then Dave was like, well, it seems to be working right now, right? Of course, that's
where
changed.
I tell you, this is where I'm telling you that the players are doing whatever the fuck they want. It's not Vanny.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not sure. I mean, I honestly don't know if this was drawn up by Vanny. We have obviously seen.
No.
I don't know.
In what world? Have you seen anything that he's done this in, like, before? No, absolutely not.
But I think that's like, kind of the point.
I don't know. I just feel like he's just just a bystander. He's like, I don't know. I just the way I see it. Can you do everything I asked last year, please? And I'm just going to watch.
I'm not sure about that, dude. I mean,
I'm being rough. I know I'm being rough.
I'm not going to give, like, oh my God, Vanny is coach. Although, you know, let's just be fair. If the Galaxy wins Supporter Shield, he's going to win Coach of the Year. But I mean, sure, I'm not saying I also don't think
when we come back, he's outcoached the coach when we come back in a game. Like, I can't do it.
I don't see it.
I don't see it. Because it's literally the same.
Well, we have only had to come from behind twice. it was against Nashville.
Only?
A game that,
what is it? We only have five games?
Right. But I mean, I up until that point, the Galaxy, against Nashville, the Galaxy should have scored multiple goals again before they were down. They outplayed Nashville. And then Kansas City was a different story. They genuinely were outplayed. And then the second half started.
That was our first game.
In this, again, I'm not really sure where to go because on the one hand, you have a sloppy field. And maybe it is a case of, dude, this is kind of like, again, this is street ball. Like the organized, no, I want to say the organized, still organized. But like the style of play that we normally play is probably not going to work in this soggy field. We're going to have to change something up a little bit. Let's just go ahead and, you know, do what we can. And I'm sure Vandy kind of recognized that. They probably said just for a minute, go ahead and load this right side up and just confuse the crap out of them, see what happens. And in 4 minutes, you had a shot off the post and a goal. And you still had control of the game. And then once they let go of that and they went back, credit. You know, I mean, I'm not really sure what the intention was.
Because it's the third minute and it never happened again. It's too much credit. I don't know. I can't give it.
The other part of this is that I obviously this was even harder to watch in the second half as the Galaxy had absolutely no offensive anything in the second half. And I went back and rewatched it and I could be wrong. But I went back and rewatched it and it very much looked like the Galaxy were going to counterattack. Forget holding the ball. I'm just going to defend this 1-0 lead because the conditions don't really favor us. We got the goal early. We control for the most part the first half. Let's just go ahead and defend against a Seattle team that has had trouble scoring. Let's just go ahead and defend. And we have the personnel to counterattack. Galaxy have seen that.
I get what you're saying.
This is a good tactical move on Galaxy on Vanny's part. Do I wish that he would have gotten one more before he started doing that? Yes, I wish he would have had an insurance goal before he decided to just kind of take a step back and say, let's just go ahead and defend this one goal lead, which is a really, really, like you were playing Russian roulette. If you're the Galaxy saying, we got one goal, let's just defend it. That's playing Russian roulette.
I get it. Yes, that's kind of what they were doing. I don't think it was completely that way. I rewatched the game today. We just couldn't develop anything. It wasn't just a defensive strategy and a counterattack because we couldn't even do that. It was really bad. And the thing is I know did Gabriel Peck get player of the match or something like that?
He got team of the match week.
Okay. No. Cancel. The person that deserves this, the man of the match on this one was McCarthy. He kept us in this game. Thank you, David. Thank you, David, for being here. But let me finish my thing. And David's in the podcast now. No, if it wasn't for him, we would have been scored upon multiple times. And if you watch the game, there was no other counters that we had. There was no good shot on goals that we had after the third minute. Like, dude, McCarthy saved us. Sorry, Peck. You made the first goal in third minute, but then you just disappear.
Can I ask you a question,
Goodbye.
Bobby?
Huh? Go for it.
Let me ask you a question.
Hmm.
How many saves did McCarthy have?
I can't tell you right now because I didn't look at the thing, but it's probably, and out of my from what I remember, maybe five or six.
Big saves.
Okay.
Big saves.
Lewis is going to give us the answer, but let me say my piece real quick.
No, I know. Go.
So,
go ahead.
I agree with Bobby. Peck had a bad game. He doesn't deserve team of the match week. I think the only reason he's in team of the match week is because he's the new DP signing.
And
he's the last one that scored. They won the game based off of that goal. He shot it right at the goalie and Stephen Fry should have done better with that one, but he didn't. And we got lucky. in that moment, and probably for a lot for much of the game. I think where we got really lucky is that McCarthy didn't cost us a goal, because this is probably his worst match that I've seen him play. He did not have a good game. Oddly enough, the player meet and greet after the game was with McCarthy. So after that, really,
so
just,
you're saying he didn't have a good game on a clean sheet?
No.
No, I you did say
got,
that.
Hold on. I get that he got a clean sheet. I don't think that is entirely his doing. I think that I think was a lot of the ineptitude, the ineptitude of Seattle's shots. And I mean, man, uncharacteristic of the players that had bad misses or whiffs in this game. I can remember two specific saves that McCarthy made.
There were misses and whiffs, for sure.
I can remember two specific misses that McCarthy made. I mean, sorry, saves that McCarthy made. But I thought but his distribution out of the back, both in-game play and ball stoppage.
That's a different thing, and I agree with you.
Terrible. And
which is something that I've criticized since game number one.
Yes, and Grant Vanney even said such, it might not have been Vanney. Really, it might have been somebody else. Somebody said after the match, we probably kicked the ball out of bounds too many times off of goal kicks. That was all McCarthy. He was slipping. He was falling for no. I mean, I get it. It was
the condition of the pitch. Yeah, it was not stuff. No reason.
I don't want to say no reason, but I mean.
Have you ever seen him?
There is a reason. There is a reason.
My God.
But
like, have you seen him slip and fall on any other goal kick in any other game?
All the time, Lewis.
He was making some.
I've seen the karate kick goal.
Don't get me on that.
I even texted you guys during the game.
Are you saying that? Yeah.
I even texted you guys during the game. McCarthy was shaky as hell in this game. And I gotta say too,
shaky, but still held it for us.
The interesting thing that I saw was specifically with McCarthy, and I'll let Lewis give the stat in a moment, is Seattle did score a goal. There was a goal that was scored and it got called off because it was a foul on McCarthy. And the foul that was on McCarthy, I thought was similar or equal to the one that he was complaining about in the St. Louis game where they scored the first goal.
Very much.
And in that moment, a lot of people are saying, well, McCarthy's looking for the ref to bail him out in that when he should have been controlling his box. I thought at the time that was a foul in St. Louis game. And in this one, when I saw it again, I was like, ooh. This seems to be a little bit of a pattern in that he doesn't like contact in the box. He went to ground pretty easily. I disagree
with that, but okay.
And I think that might be a weak point for us. And Lewis, remember you asked us a few weeks ago, who's the weak link in the team? And after the last two games, I'm kind of leaning toward McCarthy.
Okay. I mean, I think that last statement is fair. What went through my mind, the goal that was disallowed, I said the same thing because I thought about the St. Louis goal. What went through my mind was, wow, the difference between the pro referees and the amateurs is pretty clear cut.
That's what I was going to ask. So there was a change in this game, right?
Yep, and that was what went through my head was that the amateurs cost us the game and the other one saved us the game, and it was the correct call by the pro referees, which I'm sure they would have called in the St. Louis game because it was pretty. I mean, the goalies are protected by like they are like Hindu cows. You touch the goalie,
there's a certain extent.
Yeah, like you touch the goalie gets the benefit of the doubt here, 100% of the time. So the fact that there's any contact, the St. Louis goal should not have counted the same way the Seattle goal should not have counted. Do I think that he was shaky? I do. Bobby, I'm going to go back to the question that I asked you. How many saves did McCarthy have? You said five or six.
Yeah, maybe.
David, what did you see? Or what do you remember?
Two that I can remember. The one that he punched over the bar that I thought was a little dramatic. And I don't remember another one, but I know there had to be at least one other one in there.
Wow. One. Just one or two?
One. One.
Just one?
That was it. That was it. One save. That's what he did. So
he watched the game today.
Watch it again. There was one save. He is credited with one save, and it was the one that Davis was talking about, that he just gets it over the bar. Two. I was looking at the wrong thing. Two. He has two saves. The one that goes over his head, I can't think of the second one. But officially it is two. Sorry, my fault. There was two saves. I wholeheartedly disagree with both of your assessments. I thought Peck was by far the man of the match. Like, he was the only one that I saw did anything. I don't
put him man of the match.
And
I thought he was good, much better than the last couple games, which is not
one. It's not saying much, right?
To say,
but I also felt that the only person that was really doing anything on offense was Peck. Now, Pooj was able to do his thing here and there.
I thought Pooj had a good game. I thought that Paintsill had a bad game.
Yes. I think the rain obviously affected those players' play. I think Peck as well. But to me, I thought Peck was really pushing the envelope. I thought he was the one that was doing the most on offense. Never mind the goal. Forget the goal. I just thought that he had the ball. He did the smartest things with the ball. Paintsill would lose the ball. He'd make the incorrect decision. Pooj tried to, do his thing. He did make a lot of passes connect, but hey, man, with the field as soggy as it is, ball and players are going to move slower, advantage defense. So, maybe those passes end up in a shot at the very least in any other condition. This time around, not so much. I thought team of the match week for Peck was more than well deserved. Let's just go ahead and get into it. So obviously you guys don't think it was Peck who was the highest rated player. Who was the highest rated player?
Well, I mean, because he has the goal, I'm going to give it to Peck, but I really don't. It's Peck. I'll just give it to Peck. Damn it. Reluctantly. God damn it. Dave? Even though I like him. I don't dislike him.
Right. No, I get it. I get it. Dave?
Delgado. I think Delgado and then Peck and then Pooj.
Okay. So it is Peck, and it's by quite a bit, by the way.
Yeah.
It is 8.9 for Peck. Wow. With the lone goal. He went all 90, by the way. Bobby, you were complaining that he needs to play more. He needs to play the full 90. He did go the 90.
I've been wanting it.
Fagundes does come in, and he comes in for Paintsill. And I think that was a correct decision because, again, I think Paintsill had uncharacteristically a bad game. But, again, I don't really blame him. Conditions weren't optimal, but whatever. Peck completed 42 out of 45 passes. He created two chances. He only got one shot off. And he scored that one shot. It ended up being the game winner. Second highest rated player?
I'm going to give this to even though you just said one save with McCarthy, I want to give it to McCarthy, but I'm going to go Brugman.
Okay, Brugman is not a bad pick. I think if it's not the others that I just said. Of course, this is the
second game he's had, but
I think if it's any of the others that I just said, if it's not Pooj or Delgado, then yeah, maybe Brugman.
So for my second pick, I would have said Audi. I thought Audi was the other person that actually stood out to me where he was going out, balls out, and doing what he could both on the offensive and side of the and defensive side of the ball.
I want to throw Yamane in there too. Let me throw Yamane.
Right. He does that. They both are the attacking wing backs right there. They come in a lot.
Right. Right. But for me, I kind of felt that Aude had a pretty good game. Like I said, the people who stood out to me were Peck and Aude for this game. And the third one for me was Pooj. That would be my top three rated players right there. second highest rated player is kind
that
of
that whole wing,
that whole side, right? That whole side, yeah. That whole left side. This one was kind of a surprise to me. It was Paintsill at number two. This one,
see, yeah. I didn't think he had a bad game, like you guys are saying. I mean, I guess he wasn't flying in all cylinders as he usually does, but I think he created space. He created good opportunities to have people move in, but that's saying to a team that basically didn't create anything for the majority of 80 minutes.
Yeah. So Peck had 8.9. Painto was at 8.2. He did get credit for the assist. Remember, he's the one who drops it off to Peck. So he gets credit for the assist. The first time we saw the Killer Peas all involved in the goal. Hopefully many, many, many more of that to come. So he gets 8.2. I thought that was kind of a surprise for me. I don't think it was like a horrible game. I just think it was, for what I'm expecting out of Paintsill, what I have seen from him, it was a drop off. And again, you can blame the field
environment,
for that.
The environment. Yeah. I mean, but that needs to be remedied.
Like, right. Of course. Because
that can't happen again.
Everybody is playing on the same field.
You can't be the bad driver in rain, bro. You're in LA. Right. I get it. You're an LA person now, but stop it. You got to be good in the rain.
But you know what happens in this game, Bobby, is you're the bad driver in LA in the rain, and you still got to your destination.
Right.
Safely.
Yeah, but I don't care. I mean, no, you gotta get there fast and safe. Fast and safe. With Paintsill. This is soccer. This is not actual traffic.
All right. And so rounding up the top three, do you guys want to take a stab at the third one?
I'm going to stick with Brugman still. I don't know why I'm holding.
I've got like five players in my list. So, yeah, one of those five.
It's Audi. Audi's the number three at 7.7.
Lewis was giving us the hints.
Lowest rated player.
You know, I'm going to say McCarthy.
I don't know who to put this. Caceres, because he was gone super early. Nah,
not enough time. Not enough time to get a rating, I don't think.
That's what I'm saying. That's what lowest I'm saying. That's why I think Miguel his rating is going to be low. That's why I think his rating is going to be low.
No, it's Barry.
Was okay.
Pick someone else.
Barry was okay.
Pick someone else, Bobby.
Caceres. Oh, okay.
Fuck. Yeah, pick someone else.
Okay, well, then I'll go Barry. Jesus, damn.
Well, what's funny is that Bobby's right on the money on both. Officially, it's Caceres, but he only plays 30 minutes. So, okay.
That's why he's low.
So, his replacement, Zavaleta, he's at a 6.9. That would not be the lowest rated player. Bobby's second choice is Barry. That is the lowest rated player. 6.6 for Barry. That would have been mine as well. I thought that was pretty obvious. Barry didn't really do too much. I don't even think he put a shot up at all.
No, like, he held the ball a couple times. I thought he did okay for what he was supposed to. Well, I don't know.
It was a different. It was a different.
I don't know what he was supposed to do. Barry. But like,
he's doing what Dejan's doing.
Right.
He's obviously not meant to do what Dejan's doing. He was able to hold the ball at least.
Like, Dejan doesn't hold the ball.
Yeah, in a messy situation. I mean, you know, Dejan doesn't really have that skill set, I don't think.
They're very different players. They're very different players. Like, just Barry in their build. Like, huge. Yeah, he's huge. Like, it's really hard for defenders to deal with him, but he's not an attacking. Like, he's not a fluid attacking threat. He's
He's not going to get a quick shot off.
Yeah, he doesn't put his position. He doesn't position himself like Jovic, but he does hold the ball well to pass down to other players that Jovic cannot do. So that's at least I'll give him that
credit. A different set of. I mean, it's a different skill set, right?
Did you guys already talk about Jovic and him not starting and all
yes.
that?
Yes. Yeah, we did.
Oh, yeah, okay. We did.
Yeah. So rounding it off. So we have, let's see, Barry at 6.6. The next one were the subs, Jovic and Cerrillo. But Zavaleta's at 6.9. That would be the second one. And then the third one officially would be Mickey Emani at 7.1. That's your third lowest. 7.1.
Yeah, but it's pretty high.
It's pretty good.
It's high.
Yeah.
I thought Yamane uncharacteristically had a bunch of at least three plays that I can remember where he went to ground to try and like lunge for a ball and just didn't get it. And let the Seattle attacker
I remember one
get around and get the ball.
So that was everyone else was a 7 point. McCarthy, by the way, 7.5. You guys have mentioned Brugman, who was at 7.2. Pooj, 7.6. Delgado, 7.2. Let me go ahead and get into some stats here because, again,
big sigh.
Here's the thing. I had mentioned earlier, if there was a game where there's two sides, I mean, everything has two sides of the coin, but this is just really like emphasized for me in this one. Stats. Overall, let's go ahead. Possession, 54 to 46. That goes in favor to Seattle.
Yeah, I see that.
Which, right, 100%. Now, in the first half, David, you weren't here when we talked about how I believe I rewatched the second half. I didn't watch the whole game. I rewatched the second half. That was horrible, by the way. I said it looked like the Galaxy decided to defend that goal and said, "I'm going to counter the rest of the way. I'm not trying to score." Would you agree that they decided to pull back a little bit and say, "I'm going to counter"? But
completely. I don't know because I mean, you bring Jovelik on in the second half with like 15 minutes to go.
That's an attack minded situation.
Right. You bring in Surreal for
That's not defensive.
But if you were,
that's trying to hold the ball, but it's not so, really like a
it's bunker the in ball forward still,
and defend. Still. I think it's
Surreal. Surreal for Brooklyn is a defensive move.
I think it's a like for like.
No, it's not. 100%.
Have you not watched the games?
I will. Okay, I have. No. I will tell you something.
Hold on. Not even in the skill set that they have. I think positionally, that's a like for like.
No, it's not.
The effort.
I'll tell you why. I will get into that. I will tell you why that is not a like for like.
But let me give you my overall feeling of the question that you gave me just now.
Okay.
I felt like I didn't feel like the Galaxy like stopped attacking and bunkered and tried to just counter. I feel like they got their goal and then they were trying to like mitigate the situation. They're like, okay, let's not overextend ourselves because this is the pitch is just crazy. And by the way, remember a few weeks or was it after during the preseason when we talked about the torrential downpour in Coachella and then we saw the like pristine condition of the fields, not even puddles. And I was shocked about that.
Again, that's very different.
And is it because it was less rain this time
waterlogged? No, it wasn't less rain. You're thinking about the rain that hit your home, not the rain that hit Coachella. The rain in Coachella was way drier. It ended way sooner. It gave a lot more time for the sun to dry. This was different. This was rain in the morning to noon to 1 to 2 o'clock. And then we didn't have the game till like what? 5, 7:30? 7:30.
But in the evening
during a torrential storm, not in Coachella, because Coachella gets a lot of sun. Things change out there a lot. It's not the same thing as Pomona or Carson or Los Angeles. That's why it still held that saturation. Thankfully, it wasn't raining during the game, so a lot of us fans didn't have to deal with any of that.
Yeah.
And I knew that was going to happen. That's why I showed up pretty early. I knew it wasn't going to rain until the game was nearly over that the rain was going to come back. So. And it did when it was over. It was over, and we were driving home. But
But irregardless, the way the pitch at Coachella is also like massive. Like there's so much more field, and unevenness too. Like, and I don't know about the training situation, but either way, I was very impressed by the pitch over there, and I was actually, and it was the same, according to like Josh Gessman, it was the like same, what do you call them? Like the people that take care of the field, what are they called?
The groundskeepers.
The same groundskeepers were dealing with the pitches over there that deal with the one at the Diggity. And so I was very surprised.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes, I get it. It's more concentrated, it's more whatever, but we're also in a stadium that's meant to, you know, be able to drain that water pretty fast. So I was actually pretty surprised that the pitch at the stadium.
I mean, we're not Rose Bowl,
was so waterlogged.
But you can't.
Right?
We were talking about this earlier on. We were talking about how, like, the women's national teams,
right,
you know, how they had their game in the waterlogged
San Diego
section. And it was not even, like compared to
it us. It was 100 times worse.
For sure. They played a final like that.
Yeah. So, like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying I'm surprised by that. But here's what I am saying about, about the way the water was in the field. It definitely changed the way the game was being played. You could see how the ball was, you know, the changing. And so what I think was happening with, or the tactical mindset was, once they scored, whether it was early or late or in the middle of the game, whatever, I think the Galaxy were always going to go,
Is someone playing Mario Kart?
For real. I think the Galaxy went, okay, let's not make any stupid mistakes. Let's try to lessen our exposure as the team. Now they weren't able to do that. The Seattle did turn the pressure up, and it was their horrible finishing that led to us being able to eventually win the game. But I don't think the Galaxy necessarily stopped trying to attack or stop trying to get a goal. I think that Seattle kind of wrestled that away from them, and because of the conditions, the conditions wrestled any semblance of a good, you know, game from either of those teams in general. The one, like, right. They're also playing on turf, which is, you know, different, behaves differently, sure. But. Yeah, sure. The only like moment of the ooh ah was the little, you know, pass sequence that led to the goal. Right. Otherwise, I mean, there were still some moments where I went like, oh my God, I can't believe that they're able to move the ball the way they are. I can't believe that Ricky's able to hit some of the passes that he's been hitting. I can't believe that some of the through balls are working the way that they are working. But I did think that, you know, the conditions more than anything else led to the way the Galaxy ended up playing. Not so much, oh, we got a goal and sit on it. But with that said, they were able to get their goal, and they were able to sit on it, and they were able to win. Teams of the last 5 years, thankfully. I know you're sick of it. Teams of the last 5 years, they would have blown this lead. This would have been a 4-1 game. But the Galaxy won, and even though
I don't know if that's
we felt they played
true,
they but... played badly, they won. They won this game. They were lucky. Yes.
Yeah.
Seattle was bad,
and yes, that's my issue.
But they still won the game.
And that is always my contrasting argument is that we didn't play well in general. Just like last game without rain. We did not play well in general, the majority of the game. So I'm just worried about that, even though we've already spoken on Balls and Beers. Listen to Balls and Beers, but we'll get to that point.
Yeah,
we'll get to that end of the episode.
So let me get to the stats here because, as I said, I mean, you could make the argument it's a tale of two halves. Like I said, I saw something, not because that they completely shut down. I just think that they completely changed their strategy. I think that they understood that what they were trying to do as far as possession based, it was probably not going to work. You're probably better off with the long ball in these conditions. You were probably better off trying to counter and have a team that has been unable to score or has trouble scoring you know, I dare them to score. And I think I said it earlier, like they're playing Russian roulette, but they won. But let's get into the stats. So I had said 50-50. I'm sorry, 54-46 possession in favor of Seattle. In the first half, it was 50-50. In the second half, it was 58-42 in favor of Seattle. That made sense, obviously, if you looked at what was going on. Shots taken, the Sounders outshot the Galaxy 16-9. Now, this is where it gets really interesting. First half shots, 8-6. Pretty even. Still in favor of Seattle, but pretty even. Second half is where it gets a little bit more lopsided, where it's 8-3. Then you have your expected goals. This is lopsided. 1.72 for Seattle and 0.8 for the Galaxy. In the first half, the Galaxy had the edge in expected goals. 0.68 to 0.48 for Seattle. And the second half, 1.24 for Seattle and a measly 0.12 for the Galaxy. This is where the side comes in, because the eye test will tell you something, and even the stats are a little bit misleading as well as the eye test. This is where it gets a little murky, and this is where, like, hey, what side do you want to pick? And I don't think either one is incorrect here. We talked about McCarthy. Had two saves. Out of 16 shots, he only had a save, two of them. Seattle can't shoot straight. Out of 16 shots, only two of them were on target. By the way, those the Galaxy, for their nine shots, theirs two were on target. One of them went in. One big chance for the Galaxy, and it wasn't the goal. I'll tell you which one it was. Two big chances. Out of the 16 shots, only two big chances for Seattle, and one of them was Jordan Morris's shot that went wide in the 91st or very late in the game. I don't remember exactly when it was. Now, defensively, again, stats will tell you otherwise, but defensively, the Galaxy did well. Never mind that they got a clean sheet. Take that away. Jordan Morris has traditionally killed us. Rui Diaz has traditionally killed us. Ruznak has traditionally killed us.
They're all getting old.
Okay? We know the shot that Jordan Morris took that should have been a goal. Should have been a goal. He should have buried that. I saw that and I was already like, oh, well, there it is. He misses wide. That was literally his only shot. That was literally his only shot of the game. The defense completely shut down Jordan Morris. They were lucky that he didn't finish, but for 90 minutes, you shut down Jordan Morris. He did not give him a chance up until that point. Two saves. That was it. The shot that Morris took, by the way, obviously had a pretty high expected goal. And I'm not saying that's the majority of the expected goals, but overall, that was probably the scariest moment of the game. Other than that, I don't think Seattle really got anywhere. And the one that McCarthy tipped over, and as you said, David, maybe it was a little bit theatrical and dramatic. Maybe it didn't have to be that much. Defensively, the Galaxy played well. I think tactically, if I were to believe that they went to a more defensive role in the second half, they did their job. I have to give credit there. As sloppy as the game was, as frustrating as the second half was,
yeah,
they did their job. Offensively, they did absolutely nothing. They took three shots. Three shots in the second half. Okay? Puig had one. Delgado had another. Puig had two. And Delgado had the other. Not one of those shots made it past the defender. All three shots were blocked by the defender. Goalie didn't have to move, didn't go out of bounds, Nothing. All three shots were blocked. The highest big chance the Galaxy had was Paintsill's shot that hit the post in the second minute. That expected goal was 0.41. That was high. It's only about 0.1 lower than Jordan Morris's shot. It was a shot that should have been a goal. By comparison, Peck's goal had an expected goal of 0.06.
Wow, really?
Very low, very low. So yeah. Offensively, all the offense came in the first half, or most of the offense came in the first half.
What do you mean the first half? Just the third minute that won?
And
that
no, was I went through the stats. You missed the stats.
No, I know. But I'm just like,
But overall, though, it wasn't pleasing to the eye. The Galaxy did what they were supposed to do. The Galaxy got their first clean sheet. Probably didn't deserve it, but they got their first clean sheet. Sure. It was probably the first game where I said to myself, they're probably going to get scored on. I'm going to be upset, but it's not going to be the same as, say, the Miami or St. Louis game. This one, there is no offense here. And maybe this is a game where we, maybe deserve to get scored on. And it never happened. Maybe this is MLS's, the MLS gods' way of, okay, we're giving you a solid. You should have won the Miami game. This is the makeup for it, right?
You got no solids last year, so give us
right. Okay, and it's funny because I was about to get into that. Everything that you're seeing thus far, very early in the season, I get it. You're in first place. You're getting some breaks for the most part. Got some bad breaks as well, but at the same time, you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot. You should be higher than you are now, ironically. And the other thing is, going into this game at start time, not like beforehand, we know that Minnesota lost to Philadelphia earlier that day. We had the other results as we were one of the last games to play. And it was at that moment when you said, if we win, we're in first place in the Western Conference. And not only that, you're in first place overall in the league, but you got to win the game first. In Greg Vanney's first season, in which you had a really good start in that first half of the season, you were up in the top three for four months before you decided to just decide not to play the second half of the season.
That's so long ago. I don't even remember that.
Throughout that time, we said, if you win this game, you're in first place. Or if you win this game, you're like right there in second. You can leapfrog second. And every single time that moment came, that scenario showed up, they blew it. They never won. They drew or they lost. And they were never able to achieve getting to first place. These little things are starting to show up. It's an ugly game. It wasn't pretty. But they knew if they won that game, they'd be in first place. And they did it. And they did it against a Seattle team that may be down in the dumps, but you haven't beat in how many years now? It's been a while since we beat Seattle. And you did it under less than optimal conditions. And you got a clean sheet.
Also, I mean, look, it's the first time we beat SKC and they're home too.
Right.
So it's kind of crazy.
It's a little like crazy. These little things that weren't happening are starting to happen.
It is the little things, but it's not the performance that I like. Personally,
I mean, I understand what you're saying.
Of course not. Of course not. No,
but
no.
I mean,
I don't think anybody's happy with that performance. Where I think we're seeing
people that pay attention. But yeah, I mean,
right. I think people are happy that, and it goes back to what I said. They fumbled a lot, and they still managed to get the win out of this. Whereas before, they could do a lot they could do a lot more things better and still manage to find a loss. But
we've had this conversation before. Where does this end? Like if we're still fumbling
when they lose.
Okay, look, I believe in this team. Let's put that aside. I believe in this team. I think this team is going to be good. I think this is a great team. I'm all in.
Yeah.
But we've had a lot of. We've spoken about this many, many, many times where if we don't get the performance, Like, let's say, okay, we're edging games, right? We're edging games. We're getting the wins. We're getting the points. Da, da, da. But there's going to be a point where our performance is going to bite us in the ass because we're not good enough.
Sure.
Still.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like,
I agree.
And okay, look, it. We talked about the next LAFC game. We'll talk about it again, but that's a one and out. That does not live in the season. That does not live in the league.
Correct. Correct.
Those things are one and out. But if we have another game against St. Louis or something, like, are we going to be good enough? Are we if Seattle gets stronger again, which it doesn't
look like at the moment, but you have to remember too. In everything, circumstances change. It's how things are going into the game.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. But like, but I don't see us getting stronger. I don't see us getting stronger. I see our weaknesses.
Okay, so our weakest links again are I think McCarthy and at forward. If Deion's not on, Miguel Berry obviously is not going to be there. But the other part of it is
Barrett should never start again. I mean, unless it's like some weird thing. But
right. Our depth at center back was a problem. Did you guys already talk about this at a certain point?
It's remedied at a certain
point. Did you guys already talk about the new signing?
Our midfield is remedied. No. We did talk about him. We did talk about him. Yes, yes.
So Carlos, Garcia.
Garcés.
Right,
Carlos Emilio.
Emilio.
I'm looking at it,
trying to like sound it out right now. Carlos
Emilio. Carlos Emilio. Yes. Carlos Emilio Garcés.
Garcés.
From all accounts, a very fast and very quick recover center back. Someone who
can keep ready to go.
Someone who's strong, in form.
We already broke him down, dude.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we did all this.
I think that helps.
And I think that could also strengthen the weak link of McCarthy, because you could also be facing fewer shots.
I felt like he was super shaky, he kept
he kept us alive.
Two big saves that make a difference, so I mean, as far as our forward our forward goes, you know, obviously Deion is obviously the big threat. I don't think anything's changing. I think we could maybe go out and get a forward maybe in the summer, but we'll see. I think that's gonna depend a lot on what Deion's doing.
Oh yeah, yeah. Exactly.
But I also think that we're getting goals from Peck, we're getting goals from Painter, we're getting goals from Pooch.
But also Jovalich is what, 5 goals in 6 games?
Yeah, in 6 games.
He probably would have got a goal in this game.
If he would have started, I think he would have got a goal.
I agree with that. The whole groin injury thing,
I don't know what to make of that, because why did he come into the game at all if he had a slight groin knock or whatever.
I think it's Vanny being very cautious of what happened last year, because he had nothing but injuries, nothing. So like whenever anybody's feeling something, out, put him away. I mean, look at Caceres.
Why bring him in at all if we're already up? The record could have stood if he hadn't gotten in the game. We talked about this too.
He had to be in there to break the record.
But wasn't it three? Wasn't it three different records that could have all merged into one?
Well, yeah, but he had to play in that game and score in order for that to happen.
He had to play this game. He could still break a record. The consequential of the game.
Start him, give him 60 minutes. I don't know, that doesn't make sense to me.
No.
I think it was just feel him out, see if he's okay, and then in the second half, Dayon,
give him more time. Because he got what, 15 minutes? 10 minutes?
He got like 20, maybe less than 20.
Who?
Dayon?
No, he came in the second half, no?
Yeah, 20 minutes.
He didn't come in the first half. He didn't come in the first half.
I know, that's what I said.
That's what he just said. Yeah, he got 20 minutes. Yeah.
Okay, excuse me. Okay. Yeah. 20 minutes in the last.
He ended up getting 20 minutes. Okay. I was gonna say I would have given him a little bit more than 15, but if you're saying 20, then
within that game, like, it was really hard to expect him to make a goal. Like, that wasn't gonna happen within that game.
Yeah. Under the circumstances, I genuinely feel that he got a second half because of the record, and like it does help with the counter. It does help with, like, okay, you know, we don't need someone to hold the ball up there like Barrett. We need someone up there to run and actually like score and get the opportunity to
there.
Do
Just
so.
Be there.
And then the other thing I wanted to get back to was, you guys said Brogman and Soria are like for like. That is 100% not accurate. Though there is no drop off as far as like, okay, now we have a big hole in that part of the midfield. No, there isn't. But there is a big difference between what can be
the level of players. They're different players.
The offensive possibilities changes with Brugman in the lineup, and the evidence this year backs it up 100%. We have heard even Pooch say, if Brugman is there, you have another ball handler. Soria is not good with the ball. He's good defensively, but offensively, he's way behind Brugman. Brugman can hold the ball, and he can start the build-up play, where usually Pooch has to start from the back line and work the way up. When Brugman comes in, he can hold the ball and Pooch can go up, and then he could be more dangerous. Now, let me go back and tell you the way the games have played out in the last few games when Brugman has played in the game. Brugman comes in the second half against Nashville, and guess what happens? The Galaxy get two goals. Brugman comes in the second half in Kansas City. When does the comeback happen? The moment Brugman comes into the game, the comeback happens. This is not a coincidence.
No, I mean, definitely he has the IQ compared to Soria. Like, 100%. He has the IQ. He does really well.
He's a better player.
Of course. I mean, dude, I mean, look, it's like talking. Oh, come on. It's like talking about Puig versus someone else. Anybody. Brugman is going to be a better player than Soria, but it's not taking away what Soria has done.
No.
I know you're not taking it away. But
100%. What Soria has done is amazing, but the thing is, Brugman is a better player.
Of course he is. But there's no dispute in this conversation about that. But it's funny because, like, when Brugman comes in, like, in the first couple games, because it was just the first couple games, it's incredible how cold he can be, and then in the next few minutes, he's freaking hot. Like, it's insane. Like, how he can make a ton of mistakes, like a couple mistakes in the first few minutes, and be like, damn, Brugman, why are you even there? And then switch it on, and he's right on point. And he's amazing. And look, there's no dispute that he's a better playmaker than Soria, because that comes with age and IQ, and it's clear. Like, trust me, it's clear that but Soria is getting better, and he's a great addition. But yes, you're right. When Brugman comes in, we get those substantial efforts and great passes from the midfield and control in the midfield. And Bricky doesn't have to do as much when Brugman is around.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, I kind of feel like in this particular game, when you bring in Soria, it is 100% for defensive reasons. And Dayon is like, in the event that we get out in the open field, you're able to make that run, and hopefully one of your wingers or Pooj is able to hit you, because we're just looking for that one shot. Again, we talked about it earlier, David, that I personally would have wanted one more goal, maybe early in the second half before you started to pull back a little bit, get your insurance goal instead of having to defend a one goal lead. Because as I said, if you're the Galaxy, that's kind of like playing Russian roulette. but they did it. And right now, I think, like I said, the little things that we weren't doing that weren't happening for us in, you know, previous years, whether it was under Vanu or GBS or, you know, whomever, they're happening now. And I don't think that's a coincidence, obviously. And the last two games, you know, you had the second half where you obviously turned it around in Kansas City. And then this one, it's like, it's not an excuse because everyone's playing on the same field, but you knew that you were going to be taken out of your game with the conditions. Obviously, you have to understand that, and it's not a pass, and it's not an excuse. You have to adapt to that, and you have to adjust your strategy and the way you play because of it. And they won. I don't think, I mean, obviously there's weaknesses in the team, but overall, I feel as the season goes on, I want to believe that, hey, you know, like, this is a team that is technically rebuilding. It is technically, you know, like, with the exception of the middle where you're talking about, you know, Yoshida, Puj, Brugman, and Jovalich, everyone else is new. Everyone else is coming in here like new. Audi is not new to the team, but he lost his starting spot last year.
He's
a brand new starter. Yamani's a brand new starter. Your wingers are brand new starters, right? This is a rebuilding year. Your goalie is a brand new goalie. This is a rebuilding year. Make no mistake about it. They have to, just by definition, they have to continue to improve. And the fact that they're all on the same page, they all have bought into what Greg Vanney is trying to do, I feel that they are going to get better. Now, will they end up perfect? No. They're going to, like, hiccup along the way. Everybody does. Every MLS team hiccups along the way. You just hope that it is not – right.
Are we
but it's not,
we're already hiccuping.
But it's not hurting them right now. They're undefeated.
Thankfully.
And as we have stated the past two episodes, like, dude, it is inevitable that the Galaxy will lose at some point. Maybe it's not like.
Imagine undefeated the whole season. Imagine
it's that'd possible, be
crazy.
But it is possible, but that's improbable.
I thought about that, and I think the more probable thing could be like that we just draw the majority of our games, like 70% of our games.
But we're still undefeated,
and we'd be undefeated, but we'd be in like seventh place.
I don't think that's going to happen anymore.
It's not going to happen.
I really don't feel like that's going to happen this season like it did the last season.
No,
we're fighting for so many games and we're doing so good, yet we're still stuck in 13th place.
That will not happen. And I'll tell you right now that I do believe.
And I'm not saying 13th place. I'm just saying sticking to the same area that we're at. I'm not saying 13th place in it specifically, but I'm just
sure.
Saying,
but 7th place in my joke is still way above the playoff line.
It's two spots above the playoff line.
Which is fine. Yeah, it's two spots above. I mean, yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot, Lewis. Come on, be honest.
I don't know, man. In our preview, I said you have to host a playoff game this year. You have to host a playoff game. Maybe you don't end up in first, but you got to end up in fourth. You have to host a playoff game. That was my expectation going in here. You have to host a playoff game. I don't want to be crawling in there at ninth. You have to be comfortably in the playoffs. You have to host and possibly I think I ended up putting them in third or fourth with the possibility of second, as high as second. And right now it doesn't look too bad because my second place pick is Dallas and they're not making the playoffs compared to based on how they're playing right now.
No, I don't know. So, I don't know what's going on with Dallas.
Yeah. So as of right now, I do have faith in this team. I will say it again. We can go into Cincinnati. Chances are we lose, but we're going to give them hell before we do. We are going to be competitive. Maybe we are not playing the full 90.
That's not the next game that we're playing, though.
All I'm saying is you can put a random opponent, pick any MLS team, and I will not say, oh, that's an automatic loss. I can't say that. I cannot say that right now. I'm not saying that we're going to win every game. Like I said, we can go into Columbus tomorrow. Yeah, chances are we are going to lose. But you know what? We can pull off a result.
Well,
this is not like past seasons where I'm like, yeah, there's literally no way we can get a result here. We're going to lose. What's the next game? Can we get a result in the next game? I am not saying that about any team right now, including the next one, which is a big one.
Well, okay, that's what I'm gonna transition to, because we're done with the game, right? We're done with everything.
Yeah.
All right. So the next game is LAFC, El Tráfico, the big derby, the big game, the biggest MLS game that there is. Wow. What are you guys saying about this one?
It is definitely rivalry week. The Twitter heads are out. It has been nothing but venom coming out of your phones the past 2 days.
I've been off of it, so I haven't seen. Wow.
Okay. No, there's a lot of back and forth going on. Yeah, you might want to stay away.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you guys, I'm working that day, so don't text me. I'm going to see it 2 hours later.
That's fair. Okay.
Unfortunately.
That's fair. But it is venomous. It is entertaining. And for what it's worth, this comes with the territory. The banter is there as long as you're not making some sort of threat or some sort of like personal insult. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
No real death threats. No real shit. No real shit. It's just game talk.
It's game talk. Right. Uh-huh. You're talking shit. I personally don't even like to go back and forth because I don't want to give them satisfaction.
They get crazy, bro. People
like I don't want to give them satisfaction. Yeah. It's not even that. I just don't want to give them the satisfaction of the interaction. But it is inevitable that regardless of what you put, they're going to come out because they're easily triggered. And to be fair, both fan bases can be easily triggered. But it is rivalry week. I think we said it in Balls and Beers. This might be the first time the Galaxy are above the standings when they meet. So this is uncharted territory for the Galaxy. They now have more to lose because if they lose, they're no longer in first place, probably not just the supporter shield, but in the Western Conference. So you lose your handle there. Getting your first loss of the season to your rival is something that, again, they can hold against you. So the Galaxy actually have more to lose.
A lot to lose.
However, it is still very early in the season where, like,
not points, but rep.
Yeah. It's still early in the season. If they were to lose, obviously, it's not hurting their playoff chances or it's not like doing anything. Obviously, you don't want to do that because 3 points is still 3 points. This is kind of uncharted territory for the Galaxy. Officially, I believe LAFC is still the favorite. And again, this is like for gambling purposes, they're at home.
Yeah.
I get that
has a lot to do with it.
Right.
The fact that they're at home.
Right. But I stand by it. Can the Galaxy win this game? Absolutely. 100% they could win this game. Yeah. Can they lose this game? Yes, because throw records out the door, throw form out the door, throw standings out the door. It's a street fight. Who wants it more?
We're not losing it.
And so I have, like I said, I have faith in this team. I know they can pull this off. But I'm well aware that, you know, when you throw everything out the window, it's anyone's game. I have taken my precautions. I have doubled down on LAFC. I have actually officially put a money bet also on LAFC. I am literally buying happiness insurance here. One way or the other, I'm either going to make money or I'm going to be very happy. I've also taken my precautions.
I've also taken my precautions. I have a catapult for any LAFC fans that come near to my home. You're going to get your asses fucking your heads blasted out. I'm above the roof too, so don't even worry. David, what are your opinions?
No, look, man, it's El Tráfico, you know, El Tráfico is going to do what it always does. It's going to entertain. And I think that this Galaxy team right now, and probably this LAFC team, to be honest with you, are both in positions where they're going to come out swinging. They're going to come looking for blood, and it's going to lead to a very, very exciting game. I think this could go either way. I really do think that, you know, probably obviously best case scenario for the Galaxy is going to win, but is going to be like a win at LAFC. But probably the most likely outcome is going to be a draw here. I can definitely see LAFC winning, and it'll definitely be just like a heated a heated thing like it always is. So, you know, I think probably you said it too. Like this game exists outside of everything else that's happening. Anything. Like it's so little universe.
It doesn't matter.
And nothing else surrounding it going in or, you know, on the front end or the back end of the game, it matter for either of the teams. And I think with LAFC being so up and down this year, the Galaxy have a good time, you know, have a good opportunity to get a win. But I also think that that's the sort of thing that that a team can rally around is going up against your rival and wanting to get back to winning ways against them. So, you know, it's just going to be a matter of who's going to want this one more. So, yeah. I mean, you know, that's my basic feeling on it.
So, look it. I was there last year.
Uh-huh.
Not many Galaxy fans were there last year. There was a few, and I think David was there, where we sat through our first home loss against LAFC.
Asterix.
There was it happened. It happened.
It happened, but there's an asterisk. Like, I think we both have. We both have it. It works both ways. We won in their stadium. We have that one win, but it was in an empty stadium. It was during the COVID year. We played in an empty stadium when there was no fans, there was no atmosphere, there was no hostility there, and we won. So there's an asterisk for there as well. And they beat us at our lowest point when there was a boycott going on. We both have an asterisk. That's it. It happened, but there was an asterisk next to it for both of us.
I don't know.
I'm not being impartial there. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not being biased.
I cannot take their win away, which is hard, but I can't take their win away because that team that we had, sure, the situation that we were going through, but that team was at that point was strong enough to fucking win that game. So hopefully we'll get a win in their stadium. I'm really hoping. I think this is the team that can do it, and I think this is the team that believes and wants to do it. Like, yeah. I think this is the team that like internally, like in their blood, they want to demolish LAFC. I think this is the team that wants it. Like, I think Paintsill gets it.
Dejan's leading the line there. Dejan, yeah. Ricky. They're the ones leading that
Dan and Ricky.
Yep. Mentality in the locker room. And obviously Yoshida knows, he understands what this is.
Too. I mean, dude, like
he might be injured.
We could name everybody. Delgado.
I wouldn't. This seems like I'm going to be piling on, but definitely not McCarthy.
I think McCarthy cares.
I think he understands the rivalry, whether he's, I mean, and obviously he's a professional. He's not going to like, just
he's
let
never
him
gonna
roll
say
in.
Say whether one or the other. Of course.
Right. Yes. He understands how big the rivalry is. He's played on both sides and it's fine.
He's not
so did Edwards.
Give them goals.
So did Edwards. It's fine. Like, he's a professional. He's gonna play the game that he's gonna play. He's gonna play the best game possible. And like, that's it. Like, but he understands how big the rivalry is. He understands that losing this game is not going to be acceptable. Not just because you lost to your rival, but because guys, we're undefeated right now.
Also, it's not just because of his own team. Like,
yeah,
who cares about that?
Like,
bullshit?
No, look, I don't think that's the case. I genuinely believe that McCarthy understands.
He didn't grow
understands.
Up in LAFC.
Yeah,
you know, it's
like,
not like
he
someone
understands.
That went through UCLA or something. It's just like, oh, I don't want to play against my team. Like, he doesn't give a shit about that. He doesn't care about that. He understands. And within everybody within the team that I'm assuming that's going to be starters, I mean, these players are driven. On this game, they're driven. So I'm really excited about this, and I think listen to Balls and Beers about my prediction, but yeah, I mean, I'm very excited about this game. I think it's going to be a really good game. I think a lot of our I don't know if I should say this, but a lot of our resignations. On the team may not be a problem within this game. This game specifically.
Okay.
It may go back. If we go, well, what's the game after this? It might go back to the next team. But
I don't want to get ahead of myself here now, but I think it's important to talk about this. Obviously, everybody's happy that we are in first place, that we are undefeated. Nobody had this predicted. I mean, if you did,
yeah, nobody had this in their bingo list. Like
nothing, no, nothing. Nobody had that. I mean, obviously, everybody was hopeful, but I don't think anyone realistically said we are going to be in first place March 31st or April 1st. April Fool's, everybody. Like, we're not really in first place, right? Everybody thought, or at least was hopeful, that we would do a good showing. And at the beginning of the season, when you look at the first 10 games, these are not easy games. These are difficult games. Vanny is going to get a short leash. I am not going to give him a pass because of the difficulty of the schedule. It is what it is. And so far, the guy has done well. The team has done well. Can it improve? Absolutely. But when you look at the schedule, and we haven't even got to 10 games yet, and the schedule doesn't get any easier. I mean, like we said that, like the schedule does not really do the Galaxy any favors, although the fact that they got some tough games out of the way early on in the season and they've managed to get points out of it, obviously it's a good thing. But if you look at the rest of their schedule, obviously the big one on Saturday, El Tráfico, that's against your rival on the road. Let's just say it goes not the way we want it to go. Your very next game is against Vancouver on the road,
yep.
Who is currently in second place and has a game on you. So if they were to win that game, they would leapfrog you. Right now, Vancouver is 3-1-1. They are, again, it's very early and they may still be pretenders, but it's not a game that you could just take lightly. This is a team that so far has done what they're supposed to be doing for the most part. After that, you get a little break. You're back home against San Jose. That should be an easy victory. Then you have two road games. One against Austin should be a win, but it's still a road game, but you should get a win there. And then you have Seattle, again, not playing well, but when was the last time that we won in Seattle? You have to figure that this is your best chance to do it. I don't know if they're going to get some players back because they're dealing with a lot of injuries. This happens on May 5th. Seattle is still Seattle. You're on the road. It's a tough venue to play in. It's definitely doable, but it's a tough game. That's May 5th. In May, you have 6 games in May. So forget who you're playing. You have 6 games in May. So you're going to have midweek games. You're going to have to rotate. Your depth will be tested. This is when you start to see, are you a good team or are you pretending? This is about to get real, because right now we're still on cloud 9. At the end of April, if we're still doing pretty well going into May, you start seeing a pattern. Enjoy this. I'm not saying it's going to be over, but it's going to be tougher. We're about to get a very stiff test.
And they could get a win and they could end up, you know, having a
good May. Of course.
You know, it's all going to depend. I mean, you know, but right now,
the Galaxy are making good moves. The center back position, the hiring of that is a good move. We'll see what happens in the summer transfer. See if we get an actual attacker. I kind of want one even then still. But, I mean, so far it seems like they're making the right decisions within the season. It's working right now, even though I'm not happy with the performance in the last 2 games, and I've been very clear about that. But the next game is going to be very different, a whole different ball game, soccer game, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. All right, guys. Last words. Anything to say?
No. Let's go Galaxy.
Lewis? Nope. I'm good.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening. This is David and Lewis saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
We'll see you next week. Thank you for listening.
And I'm saying goodbye, guys. Listen to us next week, and I'll see you later. Bye.
Later.